All right, here I am sitting with the, you know, long lost, unwashed masses on Princess that everybody is so hyper sensitive about. And nobody ever actually asked them what the, you know, what the solution is to the problem. So why don't we just ask them what the solution is to the problem? Dennis, long-term Beacon Hill resident, brother in arms, Imano, what do you have to say about this?
Bylaw. There's a problem.
There's a problem.
Which bylaw problem? They think they're the law.
What's the problem with bylaw, Dennis?
Like I said, they think they're the law. They think they're above everybody else.
Is it by a law, you think?
Well, yeah, pretty much. How much do we pay them to make new laws?
They make laws that seem, arbitrary in the sense that they only fit a certain portion of the community. These 7-to-7 rules are only good for, a certain portion of the community. They're not good for the entire community. They're not good for especially the poor half of the community.
You mean the people that can't own anything?
Well, it's not that you can't own anything. It's that you're not given a chance to own anything.
No, you're not allowed to own anything because your stuff is considered chattel. And if you leave your chattel unattended, it's gone. Even if you are attending your stuff, they take it. And if you're getting it back, you better have money.
Do they take it like once a week, once a month?
Pardon me? They've taken my stuff 5 times this last week.
Have they ever returned any of your things like intact? Have they ever returned any of your things at all?
Yeah, now I got to buy my stuff back.
You got to buy your stuff back?
Yeah.
You can get it back, but there's no paper stating where you can do that at. There's no information. They don't give you any information or voice that or anything. But apparently you can go to the office and they'll direct you to where your shit is.
Okay, I'm just kind of.
There's no posting or anything.
I'm just kind of playing devil's advocate here, as a trip over the rocks. I'm just playing devil's advocate here. I'm just for the listener. I'm just kind of, putting up a situation where they, an ignorant person, not an ignorant person, but a person who doesn't know the situation, would be asking these same kind of questions. And I'm asking you guys, in a sense, like I know the struggles, but the common person doesn't, right? So, when bylaw comes down here and sweeps, they take everything.
You're not supposed to take your tent, your clothing. You're not supposed to take your survival.
Well, do they have your consent to take anything? I mean, what if you say, no, I don't consent to your search and seizure? What then?
Well, if you're lucky enough, most of these people are here, you get a choice of, whether or not they let you take your stuff back. Me, I wake up in the morning and pylons are put around my shit and I'm told to get the hell out of the area because they're taking my stuff. They don't even give me a warning when they take my stuff now.
So I remember when I got out of the Comfort Inn there, I was like tossed or whatever. The first night I camped, they like yellow taped me and they took everything, right? And there was no warning. And they knew it was me inside there, right? So it was just like, that's exactly what I see happening. It happened to Ali the other day when they just, we got that on tape. Thank goodness, right? And there's actually some movement about that too. There's Adam Sheffield, you know who Adam is, right? He's an acting chief. I guess Shannon's probably on vacation or something like that. But he got back to me and said that he wants to see the videotape again. And I have that videotape, so I'm going to forward that back to him. Because I'm trying to get them to actually officially recognize that was completely illegal. Mm-hmm. It was totally illegal search and seizure. We got it on camera. So if they're doing this every day.
They do it to certain people too. They attack certain people.
So you guys find yourselves like you're victimized?
Yeah.
So you think you're targeted kind of?
Absolutely.
Why do you think they target you?
Because they come down here, just take down our stuff, make a big deal about it, and leave everybody else's stuff.
So, if they're targeting you, then, they must know about you, obviously. I mean, you guys are, chronic, right? Like, chronic homeless people, right? So, why is it, have you guys been offered any services from them?
No, not.
Nothing. Has anybody been offered any services from bylaw down here?
No. And they decide, what goes in the trash and what they keep, and they never have your stuff like they say they will. They don't, they just throw your shit.
It doesn't matter whose pictures or you got or whose ashes or whose heirlooms or whatever.
And they always throw your tents and tarps and stuff away.
Did you even know that you could get your stuff back?
Yeah. When I went to get it back, they didn't have, any of it. And other people saw mixed up. There's no rhyme or reason to it.
How many people are here right now are like actually like on the street homeless, no place to stay? One? Eight people? There's like one, two, three. So nine, ten people. You know. How many of you are from Victoria?
Basically.
I can edit this out. Like, it's not an important question. It's just what I'm trying to also promote is that a lot of people on the street right now are homeless in Victoria, or from Victoria. They don't even have a place to go. So all this bullshit about people are from everywhere else. Mm-hmm. Canadians are homeless in Canada.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line, right?
I think with the bylaws, the rules seem to be really blurry. Like, they change all the time depending on how they feel that day.
Ukrainians all got houses. They said that they were going to give them Airbnbs or whatever, and that's not the truth. They gave them the fucking houses.
So are we not creating... I think you guys look pretty war-torn to me, man. Really? Like...
crime. Like, if they take people's shit, obviously people are going to have to get new shit, right? And if we don't have money to get new shit, where the fuck are we going to get new shit?
The problem guys, is that it's not better. It doesn't get better.
I have a person who asked me to do a statement on the National Housing Strategy. And the National Housing Strategy is basically all it is a Liberal government like deciding that they'll ask questions about homelessness and they'll look into it and they'll appoint a council who will look into it. And it's like, they won't be in power when they have the these things happen. Right. So it's just a save face plan is all it is.
So much money goes.
I guarantee that we're not even going to look to housing, like for at least by the federal government for at least another 8 years.
Well, what's housing to them?
What's adequate?
What's adequate?
You a room and then, you know, they can give you safe supply. It's like, so even, like,
they've asked me in the street community's words, they've asked me to articulate how I would explain it to my group of peers, which I just did, and what the response should be. So what's your response to that? The whole 8 years is probably at least until the federal government even pitches in any kind of housing. Because I don't want to sugarcoat nothing for anybody. They don't even realize that there's a housing crisis going on. What do you have to say about that, guys?
A lot of it's mental health people, too.
Yeah. Mental health? And what else? The addictions and what? Financial problems? What? Which causes it? For me, it was fucking being on the street pretty much 14 years old, man. Drugs, mental health, the whole bit. You know? It's like, just like a chronic thing that I kept going through, right? So like fucking, once you're wild, you're wild.
Go down homeless and then they come out drug addicts. Like,
yeah, literally because I couldn't find housing is because I'm here.
Do you guys think that the 7-to-7 bylaw that's up right now, that what they're enforcing right now, you think people go to the edge and they go, hey, listen, fuck this shit. I can't handle this today. I'm going to do a big smash. I'm going to do a fucking super huge hoot. And then that causes overdose. Do you think that the 7-to-7 contributes to overdoses?
Having to worry about your stuff and moving it around and all that stuff causes lots of stress and worry, I think.
Lots of stress. I mean, describe a day for me. Like, for real.
Wake up. Told you, get out of your tent. You tell them, what are you talking about? I'm just getting out and packing my stuff. They cut your tent open.
Yeah.
Right? And fucking force you to drag you out of your tent, throw you on the fucking road. And then they pile on up your shit. And if you go anywhere near them, they arrest you until your shit gets taken. And then they let you out. So now you lost, say you collect cans. It was like $50, $60 in cans. You spent all night collecting.
They take them.
They right? take your cans?
Oh, yeah. They take my cans.
Are you kidding me?
They take your bikes. They take
groceries,
any
bikes, cans.
They take
my tent.
Everything.
Clothing. Everything. They leave you nothing.
They're taking your cans now.
Yeah.
They've taken his cans several times.
That's disgusting, man. I didn't know they were taking cans. That's disgusting. What a bunch of leeches, man.
And they just throw them in the garbage.
And they roll with cops, too.
Yeah, cops are not even supposed to get involved. There's a threat.
In Vancouver, guys, they have the cops have just decided that they're not going to do any more of the sweeps. So they're not going to roll with bylaw no more in Vancouver.
They should fucking be like that.
They should be doing the same thing here.
Yeah. The minute you turn on your cameras, they change your attitude.
They do.
Yeah.
They do. And I got to be down here a little bit more often and start fucking filming these guys because they seem to back off a little bit when I'm down here.
Now, if you get your shit taken by them fucking on the streets, on the public streets, you got to pay to get your shit back.
Yeah, if you don't pay all your fines.
Are you kidding me?
If you don't pay all your fines, they own your stuff.
So anything over 65 pounds is $165.
It
goes up every time they take your shit.
What?
Oh, yeah.
They can give you...
Where is there policy? Like, have you seen paperwork on this?
No, but they give you a fucking piece of paper to sign before you get your shit back saying that you won't have your stuff on the street anymore.
Does anybody have a copy of one of these?
Look at
a speeding.
Oh, I'm not even allowed to deal with Bylaw anymore. I can't go to their office, so I can't get
So how do you deal with them?
With them when they show up in my tent.
Yes, it could be a.
So they're not allowed to deal with you. So how do they? How can they come and even?
Well, they can come harass me, but I can't go to the office and pay for my stuff and get my stuff back.
So that's a bit of a power imbalance. So you can't deal with Bylaw bureaucratically, but they can come in and deal with you physically and enforce a completely arbitrary Bylaw that's actually totally unconstitutional. And toss your shit and basically search and seize your stuff illegally. Like what happened to you, Ellie? Was complete illegal search and seizure.
Yeah, I know.
Even the cops, I said to the police, listen, this is illegal search and seizure to those two cops. And they said, yeah, it's borderline. And I'm like, if I go and commit a borderline crime, I'm going to jail.
When I was coming out of the tent, I was already flagged off, taped off.
There is no such thing as a borderline crime. How's a borderline crime?
Well, Bylaw can give you Bylaw.
There ain't no such thing as halfway crooks.
Bylaw can give you red
zones. Right?
Bylaw can give you red zones.
Get the fuck out of here. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I'm red zone. I'm not allowed to have my shit on the street.
That can't not be imposed on us, imposed by a judge. Are you kidding me?
No, I'm serious. I'm not allowed my shit on the street, and there's like a huge-ass square area. I'm not allowed my shit.
Have they given you a map?
Yeah.
Let me see this map.
I don't have it.
All right, no.
I live outdoors, right?
Yeah, no, I understand, Dennis, completely. But hey, can you get me, like, can you ask them for a copy of the map?
Well, next time Kendra goes and fucking picks up our shit, she's going to get the red zone shit, too. So...
If they see you on a bike that looks too expensive for you to be riding, they just take it.
Yeah, I've had that happen many times.
Several times. Even ones I've built.
Many, many times. You know, not all of them were 10-10, but...
I mean, for 4.5 years, that was a job.
I didn't know that. Right? I didn't know that when I purchased them.
So how the fuck are we supposed to save money if we're constantly buying tents and...
How this,
I know, we have to buy new tents. So like what is getting
on, what does getting on your feet look like? What society wants everybody to get on their feet. What does that look like for you? Like, where can you start?
Yeah, we all day, we always do is.
Absolutely. This is from a fella, he's lying on the sidewalk, sleeping right now.
We're talking about adequate housing, aren't we?
Everyone?
Right? Fucking Washington and Gorge? Come on. Yeah. Fuck. Broke in my house, fucking. Yeah, every time I went back, there was a new person breaking in my place. Fucking. So I decided, I'm not gonna go home. I'm just gonna use my place as storage and I'll go home.
I wanna ask you about that.
They never fixed my door once. They changed the lock. But they didn't
so living in Beacon Hill. Living in Beacon Hill. Like, I mean, you're a good brother of mine. Living in Beacon Hill 4 years, right? I mean, just that. Your history before that is also similar to mine, is like street and stuff like that, just growing up. Foster care, whatever, the whole bit, right? Just struggling, basically.
Yeah, not struggling, just getting by.
Yeah, me too. Same thing, you know, whatever. Things don't work out, whatever, we have up here. This is almost home again, but like, not, whatever, you know, you go through a certain amount of trauma, is what I'm trying to say. By society, I believe. Now, what is it like to be rejected, you guys? When people look at you just disdain or look at you like you can't help yourself. What's that kind of feel like? What's just explain that to me? I believe it's terrifying. Thank you. Say more about that.
When
you can't use a washroom,
it's pure hell, bro. It's pure hell.
When Bylaw takes all your stuff and you guys can't even use a washroom, right? Yeah, or you can't clean up anywhere.
Get ready with. So legally, you're not allowed to take your tent and your clothing. But
if you had a work your gear in there, a work uniform, they'd take that too.
Dude, they've taken so much of nice, good stuff. Like, yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's straight up like gang. It's straight up like a gang.
So you feel like you're being stalked by a gang?
Oh, it 100% is like
absolutely.
You have no say.
If you're quiet enough, you can actually hear them laughing, saying, "You know what? Just look into my place."
And they're not upfront about anything, are they? They don't tell you what time they're coming here to see it. They say, "We want you cleared out of the area. We'll give you a couple of days," but. They don't tell you what time they're coming the next morning. Is there a schedule? Or? So sometimes they come and sometimes they don't. Yeah. They don't show up.
Sometimes there's real, sometimes there's not. Sometimes they come.
So what's that cause for your mental health?
Well, basically, I found
terrifying.
If I don't stay on
terrifying.
The street, they don't show up.
Pardon me?
If I don't stay on the street, they don't show up.
Yeah. No,
if I stay on the street, then they show up.
So you feel like you're hunted. You feel like you're like constantly. So I mean, as far as anybody is listening, whose mental health you think put yourself in that situation where you're feeling hunted and you're feeling like, you know, absolutely stalked. Pardon me.
Is the Charter of Rights apply to us?
The Charter of Rights definitely guarantees that it applies to us as Canadians. Yeah, absolutely, it's supposed to apply to us.
I'm released on bail too.
Yeah, I asked the same question, man. Absolutely. I'm sorry, Dennis. Go ahead.
I was released on bail too, and. I told them that I have a tent and I stay on Princess Street between Douglas and Government. So and that's where they know that's where I'm supposed to be staying, basically, to sleep.
And they released it on as an address to.
And I wouldn't so much to say as an address, but that's just a focal point for they, where they know I will be, right? Just like when they released me before to Beacon Hill.
Right. Okay. I want to get back to Beacon Hill. So, I mean, just covering that bit of like right there of what the street life trauma causes, you know, to an individual and their stability, mental health, right? I mean, obviously it's like being a survivor of a war or just some sort of like, you know, major, you know, trauma event, like that you're like, you know, become a refugee, no home type thing, right? Bombs dropped, whatever. So I say that this is pretty much the same thing within our own citizens, the housing crisis, that the casualties we're creating in the opioid crisis and not dealing with it. We're seeing almost 5 to 7 deaths a day in British Columbia, which is like wartime casualty rates, right?
Yeah.
So this obviously causes a bit of a mental health state of, Dennis, when I just want to underline the fact that they didn't offer you any kind of like help whatsoever when you were housed. Like, just tell me what was that experience like?
I asked for help get my ID or get bank account, fucking get papers for fucking disability in process. Got zero help. They told me basically, no, because you have a friend that's staying in your fucking place. Tell that person leaves. We're not doing anything for you.
Who is also from Beacon Hill?
Yeah.
Who is also a good friend?
Single woman and by herself.
Really. Right. You didn't have the heart to like move out of the park without someone. It was just like, hey, yeah. Absolutely, I'm a witness to that.
So I had to give her somewhere safe to be, and apparently that was not the right thing to do.
Yeah, and it's not like you were trying to like, you know, pimp the hose or anything like that, because actually she drove you nuts. I was witness to that too, and you let her stay there anyways. So it wasn't like you were trying to do anything for any kind of gain. You didn't want to see her left behind in the park. That's just, there wasn't enough housing offered to anybody. This is because they left people behind. There's people right now who weren't even offered housing. Allie, you weren't even offered housing from Beacon Hill, right? You were Max?
Not from Beacon Hill, no. The housing people have come around and talked to us, but they just put you on the list. They never come and follow up and actually talk about it or
right.
move
That's
forward.
The thing, you're supposed to follow up.
But how do you follow up? With where do you guys charge your phones at?
You go to the two pay phones here that you don't have access to because they don't
right.
have
There's no place to charge a damn phone. So isn't it their job to come out here and honestly, the outreach come out here to do their job? It's called outreach, whatever, reach around, whatever this, whatever it is.
Drop off supplies so you can get high.
And that's pretty much all they do. They drop off safe supply. So you guys.
They bring food every once in a while.
And food.
Those are different groups, though.
We appreciate all the work they do, though.
Do you find these groups are working together or against one another?
I don't think
they show up at different
each other,
times,
but they're not working together.
Apart, so, I mean,
if they work together,
what's the city need, guys? Like, honestly, what does the city need to like?
To
what? Pardon me.
To grow up.
And some political will.
Need support for
support.
Maybe like if there was.
Mental health people.
What about like a big like right there in that field right there? A big fucking like art like no no our place but a pure run. Facility where people could like camp in the parking lot, be safe. People could just like the whole bit.
That'd be basically another tent city.
Do you think that would like and then you know outreach is there 24/7, the whole bit, right? Like you know as and kind of the people
run the rules.
Exactly,
the rules
we run it.
Really clear.
And it's for people who like maybe like.
Why don't they have more places like the tiny homes, but not tiny homes?
Yeah.
Some people that want to give back.
Group areas set up. For people that mental health people would be designated to mental health building. Drug problems that want to get clean, your designated building.
So like a one stop, like takes care of everything type of like you know shelter.
24/7.
Kids and stuff back too, and that's not an appropriate housing.
Ministry of Children and Families, exactly. There's no help trying to get families back together.
No,
none. There's lots of help trying to get families split up. But there's nothing trying to get family, and it's all accusatory. It's none of it is helpful. None of it is bridge building. None of it is positive. It's all just completely negative shit, right?
Yeah.
People lose their kids and that's it. And it's like once you lose your child to the MCF or whatever, that's it. It's gone.
They got workers coming lying to the women saying that, you can stay in the hospital up to 3 months after having your baby and, look for housing while you're there.
Yeah,
right?
I had to leave the hospital while my kids were still in the hospital.
They have the ability to do this, so they say, don't worry about it. Don't stress over it. And lo and behold, you have your kid, and 2 days later, guess what?
So it's
that program doesn't run anymore.
So okay, this is a thing. You know, if someone's addicted, right, and they're going, and they're pregnant, they want to have a child, And they go and they tell their doctor, like, you know, voluntarily, hey, listen, you know, I'm using, this is my substance. What does a doctor do at that point? Do they report you to MCF or do they?
They legally have to.
So right away, as soon as you fess up, as soon as you say, listen, I want help, I want to get healthy for this kid, they want to take it away from you.
Yeah. They had a program called Hurry Home, like you were saying.
Most of them were on prescription.
Right? I just had to move in with my dad.
But Hurry Home does not exist, really, with the programming with the hospital like they say they do.
How many people here have heard of anybody getting out of here? Like getting something, getting themselves together, you know, getting their shit together? Anybody?
What's his name? Mike. Black guy.
So, Mike, the black guy?
Yeah. So one person.
I know one person in 7 years that I've been here that has made it out of.
And with all the outreach, with all these apparently helpful places and all this shit that's going on, one person that you can, you know, you're pretty prominent in the street community here, Dennis. You know a lot of people. So one person?
One person.
Anybody else?
That had made it.
And with Ken, it's his daughter and ended up staying there and getting a job again.
So, I mean, here we go. That's a ratio of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. That's 2 and 12. Possibly make it out of here.
They need to start spending money that they're getting
on. Yeah, but, I mean, how far do they make it? Because, I mean,
it happens again.
Make it as far as you can get, and then you start.
Would anybody here take, if you could get an honest treatment, if you could get into some facility where there was going to be some sort of like treatment? I don't give a fuck. Like, I'm not trying to rag on anybody for any kind of drug use. I'm not about that at all. Like, go ahead. Like, do what you do. But if anybody could like maintain that and actually have a safe place environment, how many people would choose that, you know, to use? If you had a place where you can maintain your use and find positive things to do at the same time, how long would you use for? Like, would you actually go? Yeah, how long would you use for?
I don't think it would be long at all.
Right? If you could use and then find your creative things and your talents and or whatever qualities that you have, again, and not have to worry about chasing or worry about the monkey on your back or having to find the cash to use, and you could spend your time on qualities, how long would you use for? That's my question.
Me? Like,
Forever.
I'd be a functioning addict.
Cool.
100%.
Which is fair enough. That's cool. And I believe so too. I believe so too. But don't you have the chance to be, like, shouldn't you have the chance to be a functioning addict?
Yes.
Then you'd have to start treating people for their actual fucking addiction and their fucking skeletons in their closet, right? Individually be.
So mental health, physical health, emotional health.
Even if you try to access those programs, there's the 6 to 8 week waiting list, and you need to phone in every day and stuff like that. And it's like,
it's next to impossible to get into. It's like a lottery.
It is.
It's hard for us because we procrastinate. We don't make a phone call.
And at the same time, exactly. Who really wants to like just go and drop their addiction? I don't. I got like fearful of it. Actually, I'd kick it and scream and I'd go in there. You know, so it's like to make that kind of commitment while you're really trying to do something that you don't want to do, but you do want to do.
Yeah.
Like, come on. That's totally unrealistic.
People should come and help you do it.
Okay, guys, it's 23 minutes. I want to say thank you for your time. Thank you very much for your time. I'm honored to be asking these questions.
I got a whole lifetime of talking.
Yeah, bro? All right, if you want to keep rapping, man, I'll keep rapping. I mean, I don't want to take up too much of you guys' evening, right? But what else is it you say? Dennis, so when you moved into to Patricia there, or is it what's called? Yeah, Washington, sorry. With Pacific Housing, that's right. Well, they didn't offer you nothing. It's because you had a decent living there?
Yeah, because I had a girl living there, and they told me basically once she moved out that they would be more willing to give me the help that I was looking for. And I'm not about to kick her out on her ass in the street of city. She doesn't know, and you know, fucking fight the wolves and, you know, go get high, go get, you know, your life on Pandora or Princess or wherever the fuck it is you want to be, because she'd get eaten up, spit out, and that's exactly what happened after she moved out.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It is what happened after she moved out, and it's unfortunate because you were trying to help her out, and she actually trusts you, and you guys were good friends, so, I mean, they didn't even give her an option of, like, maybe getting a place there or talking to her and trying to get her own place. They just ignored her. They told her, get out. There was even no outreach done within the housing itself. There was no social worker that came to talk to you guys and said, hey, well, Dee, you know, you're in Beacon Hill too. We have this pathway to permanent housing that we promised everybody, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, part of that is you were supposed to get you off the street. They'd actually just swept her under the rug, and she's still under the rug. And that's what I mean. There's a ton of people from Beacon Hill that never even got housing. There's pathway to permanent housing bullshit. And even Topaz, I mean...
Well, it doesn't matter. Where they put us wasn't even considered housing, really, for adequate anyways. No, right? I mean, like...
You know, a lot of visitors, you're allowed to get... supplies like, and pretty much go die in your room.
Exactly.
Where in history is it meant that
really important
people
question.
With mental health issues are supposed to be sitting by themselves? That's bullshit.
Yeah,
you're not supposed to get them isolated to themselves because
what do you think that's,
depression
why,
hits.
Why do you think that is? I got a really important question.
Life insurance policies on all of
us. This is the thing I want to get into. But first, I have the really important question. Do you have a cigarette, bro?
Well, you know, bylaw probably took them.
Let's go burn that place down, then.
No, see, that's the reason why I can't. I'm not allowed to deal with them, mate, because there's plenty of times I say, you know, like, you guys are being goose, you know, like, stop taking my shit. I'm packed up. I'm ready to move. Like, fucking, what the fuck's your problem? And the cops are telling me to fuck off and get out of the way. And I'd be like, you know what? Fuck, maybe I'll just walk over to the fucking bylaws office and smash their fucking window open.
Or spray paint it up or something.
They save all your stuff in a cart, ready to move and stuff. You're good. But then you do that and they...
20 minutes?
Well,
so yeah, how much time limit are they when they come in and they ask you, you know, you gotta get up and go.
You got your back to somebody who's trying to be involved in the conversation.
Oh, no, the phone is here. Thank you for letting me know.
So Viola shows up in the morning. If I'm not packed up and got everything off on private property, I'm fucked. Everybody else, they don't worry.
Yeah, that's exactly what they used to do. That actually, that's an old tactic. When they leave the garbage scattered all over the place, so everybody looks at you and thinks, "What a slob you are!" And just yeah.
I tell you, fucking put it out here. We'll pick it up then in the morning, and they'll fucking pick it up for a week.
They promote their like position, you know, in the community. They actually like kind of build that.
And what
persona or whatever, you know, that oasis, that mirage, that there's some sort of like, that it's all us that is scattering shit all over the place. When it's actually them scattering shit all over the place because they don't give up anybody a place to go, to exist, to even try to get their fucking shit together, even for 5 minutes. It's a constant state of crisis. So what is a human being supposed to do when a person, like when they have the actual law enforcement making their lives a constant state of crisis, literally hunting you?
Check this out. So the other day, the cops show up and my friend's bike they're like, oh, this is the bike we were looking for that was stolen out of the back of our truck. Meanwhile, they stole it while he was in the bathroom going to the bathroom, right? And they took it from his spot, right, and put it in the back of the truck, in the back of the bylaw truck. And then he came out, and then he saw his bike in the back of the bylaw truck, so he grabbed it, and then they charged him with theft.
You're not allowed to take the truck. You don't like that.
You know Richard, right?
Like, what the fuck?
This is, I mean, that's a multitude of stories that we need to, that's what I'm asking Dennis for. He's still ignoring me.
I'm having it. It's quite enjoyable, actually.
We're going to end this interview now, I guess. No, but, like, thanks, for in Beacon Hill, when I went to court one morning, they came down and emptied my two shelter logics, cut my whole camp down.
Yeah, they'll do it when you're gone.
Yeah, exactly. They knew I was in court.
Yeah.
And it was like January 3rd, and I'd just gotten like the Comfort Inn room or whatever. I hadn't even moved into it. They fucking trashed everything.
Yeah. Oh, they did. They actually trashed it. They knocked stuff over and dumped like stuff out.
They do it with like resolve. You know,
I thought someone robbed us.
It's gross.
It's not only bylaw, though, we should be talking about. I mean, like, these houses that we have, they got the Perry moving, right? Perry's hauling, right? They fucking...
Yeah.
You got too much stuff, it's clutter, right? They tell you...
How do they define too much stuff? When do you have too much stuff?
When you can't walk from the bathroom to the front door.
You can have, like, a bag of stuff.
From the front door to the window.
There's what, sorry?
They wanted you to have a 3-foot-wide path from the front door.
Which is reasonable for fire hazard or whatever.
Oh, this is in what do we call these things anyways? The death traps?
No, we call them assisted
suicide buildings. Yeah,
it's called get you off the street till the
problems over and the tourism's over, and then that's undone.
What about the recycling that's going on? What about the fact that they're shutting down three places, and then they're also building three places? So they're actually just doing nothing. They're just like, it's a status quo.
Yeah. They're spending the money on us.
How many people have lived in any of those buildings, the Paul's or anything like that?
Taxpayers paid for those too.
Yeah, I was comforted. And then when they kicked you out, how'd that go down?
I'm still in jail.
Oh, yeah, that's good. That's good.
I abandoned my suite.
Well, they threw all your stuff out.
Well, you didn't abandon. No,
they threw my stuff out twice.
That's what another thing. Let's get into that again. You didn't abandon your suite, bro. You were basically didn't feel comfortable going to your suite.
No, I got tired of fucking kicking people out every time I went home.
Squatting with you.
Right? I mean, like, fucking, I'm not going to mention names, but we all know this, never mind, Nicole, we won't say it.
So, okay, but now the person has to ask, why would you let that happen?
Why would I let what happen?
Why would you let people squat there?
Why would they let that
happen? Why did I let somebody squat there? I didn't let anybody squat there. I went fucking out and did some shit and fucking did my daily routine. I came
so
back
people
and
come
somebody else
to
dinner.
Yeah, so they didn't maintain any kind of...
I locked my door when I left.
In the building, they didn't do their due diligence in maintaining kind of like your safety, or your even your belonging safety, or your security of your house at least.
Well, they did what they think they should do, which is change the lock but not fix the door frame, right?
How hard is it to like get housing and then watch your brothers and sisters stay on the street? Right?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. You can't leave.
Absolutely. So of course, I would let anybody in my place too. I mean, like it's just like fuck, man. It's. Once you've been through it, you feel pretty callous when you say to your brother or sister, no, you can't come, you know, have a shower or fucking have something to eat or watch fucking TV or something. Yeah. You know, so like, I mean.
No, it's only in some buildings. Like other buildings, you're not even allowed visitors at all.
They don't want to change the public's image of us at all.
No, they don't.
That's why they don't help.
Say that one more time.
They don't want to change the public's image of us.
No. Absolutely not. They don't offer any positive solutions whatsoever.
There's more ads for jobs to get rid of the problem, what they call us, the problem, and the dangers or whatever for people rather than like ads for like treatment or help or supports or anything.
There's no advocacy for treatment.
Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the absolute truth? Well said.
Oh, I know. The police are horrible like that.
Police call us parasites on society.
Do they call you that personally?
Yeah. They're fucking rude.
And their attitude seems to be getting worse.
Well, yeah. Like you're destroying our city, so.
And there seems to be this new, fever going on that there's a new city council coming that they're gonna trash the homeless and they're gonna get rid of the scourge on society. And what does that feel like when you're a person out here struggling to survive? And this is what the general population is referring to as.
Officers to come too. They're like all standing there like. Watching you
and you're defenseless.
Yeah.
And you're defenseless. You're sitting there with a backpack.
You're uneducated.
You're wearing, you know, like you got nothing. And there's 8-15 officers standing around you trying to like herd your lung.
They won't. They just stand there and watch.
And they're trashing anything that you hold as sacred.
Yeah.
Every day. So this is Canada. This is and here we are. And we're offering foreign aid to all sorts of places, but we have no foreign aid for our own individuals, our own refugees that we're creating.
Yeah.
You know, it's what it's called, is an internationally displaced citizen.
You know what? The funding, too.
Nationally displaced. Ellie. But this is actually a UN crisis. This is internally displaced person, IDP. Mm-hmm. Check that out. YouTube it. Internally displaced person. And that's what homelessness is. And that's what they're creating.
They single you out.
And exactly. Well, an internally displaced person is a person that is basically... displaced within their own country, and the outside forces can't help, or outside government agencies can't help, because it's within their own borders. It's not a war. It's not something that they can really get involved in.
The money,
but it's because of economy or dictatorship or some sort of
you know
crazy
shit.
How
much money goes to giving us those tents and stuff, and then they take them? The what? Oh yeah, to work there. Yeah, well, people.
How many job incentives are asked? Anybody come down here and say, hey, you guys want to work for the day?
Never.
No one ever
comes.
Yeah, you do. No one ever. Like, there's no like cash corner like thing here going on where like people come and pick someone up for the day and say, hey, I need to labor. Nothing.
Nobody
comes down here and tries to give you guys like even an opportunity to as they say, pull yourself up by the bootstraps, right? Not even an opportunity. They just.
What job experiences does everybody out here have?
I have lots.
We have like what?
I'm a carpenter. I can build you a house.
I'm a journeyman welder.
I'm a plumber, electricianist, fucking waterproofer. Like you name it, I've done it.
Residential, non-residential painter.
Frame reformer.
I've worked in kitchens and fish plants.
There you go. Yeah. Lots of skills here, man. Lots of skill. Lots of skill. I mean, there's like a workforce right here. Untapped. And there's tons of opportunities right now in BC for people to you know, like enjoy. But there's just no way that's a reality to British Columbia's residents. You know,
I tried working at
the most vulnerable of its population.
Oh, yeah.
Because we can't.
They got me pushing a broom.
Law enforcement is actually literally. Oh, make you guys a living hell because.
Look at the hospitals too. They treat you so different.
Do they ever arrest you for being homeless?
Yeah,
basically. All
the time. Yeah, if you tell them
for being homeless, there's no law against being homeless.
They should give us a fine, like a large fine, like
when I crossed the line.
So, but they make all sorts of reasons for what you're doing to be illegal, right? Isn't that disgusting?
They push your buttons to the point of where I'm surprised there hasn't been major. Repercussions on some of us. There's been plenty of times where I've lost my fucking mind and I've actually wanted to fucking pick up a bat and go at these fucking assholes for their stupidity.
Yeah, absolutely. But you have to.
I fight it.
You fight it, exactly. Yeah, and that's every day that you guys are adding this frustration. So if you're pretty.
They follow him, asking him questions, and I told him to stalk you guys.
So to the listener, imagine going to work every day and having your boss like antagonize you to the point of wanting to like honestly take a baseball bat or your stapler to him or whatever you got, and then you know every day what kind of like and you know trauma is that going to create in a person's mind over a period of time? So and then how long is that person going to be able to maintain honest sanity? To where we need to actually, now it's not even just a housing problem, it's a mental health problem, it's an addiction problem. And what do they say to you when you guys go in there and you're kind of healthy and you look like you don't really, they say you don't need that much help, you have too many barriers, or you don't have enough barriers. Yeah. What's that about?
I don't know, it's a fact.
Tell me what that looks like, that you don't have enough barriers. So they want you to go over and catch.
I was bottling one time, this lady goes to me, what are you doing? I said, I'm getting bottles out of here to recycle. She goes, but. That's what the homeless people do.
Yeah.
I said, homeless. You're well-dressed. You can actually have a conversation with me. You have well-mannered. There's no way you're homeless. I said, actually, I am. I live across the street in Beacon Hill. You're more than welcome to come see my tent.
Right? Mixing up mental illness with
She got so disgusted with that fact that she went and got the manager to come out and talk to me and kick me off the property. Even though the day prior to that, the manager gave me fucking those little claw things. Dog grabbers to grab the bottles out of the bin.
Nice.
Some people are
because this old lady was complaining and saying that I was too well mannered and too well dressed to be bottling, and I'm not homeless, that she wanted me gone. So the manager told me I had to leave.
Chasing off the homeless people for not looking homeless enough. Eh? Yeah, sorry, I'm exactly. You know, I'm good. Thank you. I'm good.
To break down. Anybody want this cigarette?
You know, guys, I just want to end this on a positive note. Okay, for one thing, I want to say, there you go. And you know, what do you guys have to say about? First of all, I just want to like just make this a noted that, you know, I'm talking like 12 people here, 8 people, 8 to 12 people. I don't know how many people behind me are, but anyways, there's how many people are here? Let's just
14
let's just,
people right now.
14 people. Okay, the numbers are growing. Awesome. So okay. And not one of them has, like, articulated themselves in any kind of way where they're, you know, helpless or wasted or, you know, completely, you know.
Having to walk around with a
right, offensive and the whole bit.
Like,
they're tired individuals.
You have to carry your stuff so it doesn't get.
They're fed up. They're fed up. And they have, the kindness to like, put up with my dumb questions. So, and to enter, you know. Your mind to educate you and to enlighten you about what it's really like out here, and I think that they've you know they all deserve you know a big pound for doing that, for going through the triggers and through the trauma of this whole thing. And thank you very much for doing that, guys.
You know, nobody was putting them all down. Nobody was saying that they're a bunch of ghosts. Like they really are.
I mean, we could do that because
we're trying to. Just live our lives and get by.
This is the same population.
Allowing us to do.
This is the same population having this conversation with you right now, wherever you are, that you might look at as, you know, the unwashed masses, the vile, the scourge, the plague. And they've all been kind enough to enlighten us. And this is a homeless idea. Out. Out.
Out.
Out.
Peace.
I don't think anybody else wants it.
So I'm just talking with my friend here. I don't know if he used your name or not.
Yeah, he used my name.
I'm just sitting here with my brother Mike, and just talking the situation right now in Victoria and what would be solutions. And this comes from a solution-based person who's saying down, are you a resident here, I suppose?
I couldn't even be a resident here. They wouldn't accept me. I've done everything to get myself in, even to support my girlfriend who lives in the building, but it just is, they just sort of pushed me aside just because.
Why is that?
I couldn't tell you. Just, I mean, politics? I feel like a lot of it is the PHS structure is flawed.
In what way?
Well, I mean, it's not a hidden thing that PHS is corrupt. Okay.
Fair enough.
From
Fair
the
enough.
Top to the bottom.
Are you talking about even the life insurance policies? I mean, that's unconfirmed.
Of course, that's unconfirmed. But it's actually, if you do some fucking research, which
we
are all restricted fucking. It's not public information. That's
no, of course.
The problem, right?
Yeah, well, of course it wouldn't be. Yeah.
It would have to information like that. But I can guarantee you that when you move into these buildings, they take out a policy on you. I promise you that, because there's no fucking way that they would go that many deaths within one building,
right,
and not make it a public fucking
outcry. Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
The living environments are so heinous in fucking Johnson Building that it's...
Describe a day in the Johnson. Describe what that looks like.
It will literally go from gagging to fucking crying and suffering throughout all floors.
I've seen it.
And
too,
it
yeah.
just gets more and more as you go up. And
yep.
it's not just that. It's like, okay, yes, they feed you.
Yep.
But when they feed you, they take away your housing rights. That's
they absolutely
the thing.
They send the program.
They put you into a mental health and addiction. So they, when they put those two together, they made a big mistake. Because a lot of people that have addiction are, some of them have mental health, and a lot of it leads to mental health. But the problem is there's some different levels of mental health.
Sure, absolutely.
And these people that are stuck in addiction, and you can't blame them, because addiction controls people's minds. You know, it overwhelms them.
Well, even if you go back to the housing crisis, and you're out in the street, and you're pretty desolate as it is, and then, you know, there's this relief that is, you know, whatever substance may be, you know, going around, any person is going to, their you know, ability to resist that is going to be deteriorated. They're going to use eventually.
Well,
you know,
it's depressing.
It's a pain relief. It's medication.
It's all self-medication. That's all it is. And I mean, like, people all use for their own reasons, right? Like, but that's a lot of what these buildings need to start supporting. And that's to increase someone's quality of life. You need to increase that person's quality of their belief in life.
Absolutely.
And they don't have that. There's no classes, there's no courses, there's no
Nothing. Reaching
out to help people's minds get to a better space.
There's no programs offered.
Nothing.
In any of the...
No, they give you rigs and pipes.
Right.
That's their program.
And a 12-hour room check.
And a 12-hour room check to make
right.
sure you're not dead.
Right. Which is where the life insurance policy kicks
yeah.
in.
And
you know.
my girl's in here, and I was trying to... Somebody had offered to... let me house sit their room, which is against policies because you can't sublet, right?
Right.
Because they have no housing rights.
But yet here at the same
but
time,
I'm,
no
I have no
rights.
Place to go, right?
How can they say you can't sublet if they have no housing rights? They can't call in the RTA if they're not
no,
going
but
by the
what area. They do is they ban you.
Right. Right.
They can just outright kick you out and
right,
say,
it's
you
not
can't
supportive.
Come here.
Right.
This is private property.
Yeah, yeah. It's just,
right? You're not supporting what we've our agenda is.
Absolutely.
And,
absolutely.
And to that, we say good day. We'll see you in 30 days.
Right.
If you break any rules within that 30 days, it's another 30
extension.
Days.
Right.
which I just went through 2 months. People thought I gave up and we broke up.
Right.
But literally, I was prevented from going up and seeing my girl. And she's a single girl, 110 pounds. She's all alone other than
there
a dog.
I mean, there's two points you bring up right now. Like, I mean, you're a skipping guy. Like, you know, what's your safety level? What's your anxiety level when you come around the building? I mean, safety level wise.
I've been through this. I'm not young. I'm
fair enough.
40
okay.
years old. And
right. So being you know that you've been around. You know that you know the people.
people either respect you because this is the sad reality of the streets is sure. that they don't respect anything but the fear of being arrested
exactly.
or
yeah.
the fear of getting your head kicked in.
Right, right.
Those are the things that people listen to.
Street.
You can't. I've tried being the nice guy,
yeah.
and it has never got me anywhere but in jail.
No, it's true. I totally sympathize with that.
It's really sad, but you know what? Like, I mean, at the same time, it's you know, like every situation can always be fucked. You know,
so you're no stranger to danger. Forgive the rhyme there, but like you're no stranger to like to being around you know intense situations on
no,
like street life.
No, of course not.
So okay, so for like you say, your better half.
Yeah,
it was 110 pounds. I mean, just I'm just trying. To,
oh yeah, no, that's absolutely it should be against human rights policy.
Have, yeah, you probably
this girl has. Some of the worst social anxiety I've ever seen.
Right.
So she can't be, she's an introverted person that will sit and she will never, she'll help people unconditionally.
Yeah, she's
and the thing is addicts, like we were talking about with the different levels of addiction
mm-hmm.
and mental health and people pray, like that's why I'm against that going together. Sorry to jump back to this, but I really wanted to press this point was that the way that they put mental health and addiction together has caused the mental health people to become victims of the addicts manipulating. And whether I'm not saying
it's
like,
honesty, it's honesty.
It's, they're, yeah, they're and it's survival, and it's their own. That's what they know, right? That's all they know.
Yeah.
And they see an easy target. It's just like when you're. It's like somebody in jail, like they. That you see weakness and everyone can smell it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and they someone sees fear.
What's the solution to this kind of stuff? Like,
you know, it's unfortunately it's to separate the two,
right?
And to as you know, our local Eric Martin has done such cuts and such.
Right.
Open the doors and get the fuck out
mm-hmm. to the mental health
to the mental health in
yeah.
this town
issues, yeah.
that they're screaming down the streets at all the times of the day.
You see
them everywhere.
You know, when Beacon Hill was going and we had the 24/7.
Sorry.
No problem, buddy. You didn't have that part. it's reality, right? You can't script this shit, man.
Yeah.
So, we had Beacon Hill going on, and there was people kind of tenting. Had you know, people with mental health issues kind of had at least a safer place to like at least camp, right? Do you find that there was less people, you know, up and down the street screaming, or was it the same, or do you see more of that now?
That was different. So like when, but here we go. Like if you were to say set up a long term. Like an outdoor sort of area for people like that.
Right.
It does. You know what? People I found were living a better quality of life.
Sure,
they,
yeah.
they were
yeah.
happier. They weren't stuck in these little boxes where
right.
they're fed and
yeah.
You know.
Absolutely. They could be around
they
people they want to be around.
Yeah, they want to go around people. But at the same time, everywhere you go, there's always going to be bad apples. You know what
sure.
I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what happens. And people end up dying. And people end up, you know, there's sexual assaults going
right.
on in there. And it's
yep.
a problem.
Yep.
And that's where the government steps in and goes, fuck this. This is shut down. We're
right.
done. We're, you know what I mean?
Right.
And you can't really blame them because people can't. And like there's
can't tolerate that.
There's
yeah.
a line, but
yeah.
within this community of the streets, that shit is not tolerated either. and it's dealt with.
Absolutely.
Probably more fucking
severely,
yep. And definitely more fucking swiftly than the cops ever would.
Well, yeah, the justice. We know what happened, right? So
it's the reality of it, and you know that's the fact. Like if it's like that everywhere, man. And the cops they like to do their big like, you know, like public bus and stuff like that, and.
They
don't realize that what you're looking at is somebody's life being ruined right there.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, I had it happen to myself where I lost my condo and my truck and my everything I worked for legitimately. And they just took it all. And I, in order to prevent an extraordinary amount of time, I had to sign this waiver of no contest on all assets and basically saying I would not go after anything of mine.
So there's liquidated you.
So, and then I went from 15 years to 3 years and I was out and, you know,
So basically to, you know, make whatever for your freedom, you had to sign away your life.
But that's how the rich stay out of jail. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there was a gentleman in town we were just talking about him today. He was a millionaire, and he I don't even know what it was that he did. I can't put a thumb on it. I don't know the guy's name. It probably would be better not even to say. But the guy was literally he was a public figure. He had millions of dollars. He'd done well in all sorts of different areas. Got himself into a bad situation. You know, like he's we're all human beings, you know what I mean? But because he had the money and they knew he had the money, he just gave them money and it went away. Yeah. And, he slap on the wrist, you go home and stay at home, sort of thing. That's your jail. And I mean, sure, like, I get that. I was always taught, like, you're always innocent until proven guilty.
Well, that's what they tell us, yeah. That's what our charter says, yeah.
Yeah. Does our charter right say that?
It does, yes.
So as Canadians, that's what I always get confused, because I know Americans and Canadians, sort of mesh with our TV and
British law. The British law, mostly the United States has their separations, but we're mostly under British law, so yeah.
That's right. We're under Her Majesty, right?
Yeah. So, I mean,
not anymore,
you know.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, yeah, absolutely. I'm not going to, slam it on the Queen.
I like the Queen. I mean,
I think during World War II, you know, I mean, she rallied her troops and she did her duty against tyranny and all these things. So, you know what?
I'm not even going to touch that because I just
lost probably half my listeners.
You know what? The Windsors, their original last names.
They're terrible evil.
We're Germans.
Okay, yeah. Let's get on to a different subject.
That's a fact, bro. Yeah, you might want to get on over there. Well, you can edit your stuff, right?
No, I don't edit the stuff, man. It's reality. It's reality. It is what it is.
Sometimes it's better not to, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, whatever comes out, right? I mean, and then people get to listen to that and judge for themselves. So what do you think a solution to all this is, honestly? Like, what do you think? Because obviously there's, you know, you can't protect, you know, your better half. And that's got to wear on.
I've applied myself, right?
Right, okay. But you still got to worry you that can't be here to protect her? Right.
And yeah, no, when they had me kicked out of here, I'm influential enough that nobody would bother her.
Fair enough, right? Fair enough.
And I think other people around here know.
What are you doing taking my smoke, man?
And watch out for her. Definitely.
I got one for you, Fred.
So just separating the two is probably something that you see basically
separating the two of them with mental health and addictions,
and then finding the supports that they need individually through, you know. Better.
So yeah, so the only way that I could see this like being at all like any sort of change in the future would be like to actually like get boots on the ground, as they say, and get people in here talking to the residents every day.
Absolutely.
And being like, hey, what's going on? What can I help you with? What do you need to move forward in life?
Absolutely.
And what is it that causes you to to use dope. You know what I mean?
So because counseling,
everybody's
some
got a fucking reason.
Some recovery. A little bit of recovery, a little bit of counseling.
People don't even know. Like, they, people, someone that's never even been to treatment, they don't know that.
No.
I've had the blessing of going to treatment.
Right,
and awesome. I spent 112 days at Cedars. It was like a luxury place. It was great. But the counselors there, they really showed you what happens when...
Why are you using?
When you share stuff,
yeah.
When you share what yeah. happened to you,
yeah.
When you give that, by sharing it, it gives away some of that negativity and some of that fucking hurt that's in you.
Sure does.
People don't
sure.
know that. They don't know the power
sure.
of telling their story.
And also finding out, when you tell your story, you start to figure out, like, you meditate a bit, and you realize why you're using and what you're covering up.
That's right. So if they went around and started helping these people, like, proactively.
Yeah.
That would
do a world again.
It would be a huge difference. Of course, there's going to be people that aren't going to fucking react positively to
right.
it. But
what do you
mean,
do with
like,
those guys? What do you do with those guys?
What do you do with them? They want to be in here. They want to do that.
Right.
But then what's the big deal?
Right.
Right.
It's absolutely.
Here anyway.
Exactly. Exactly. Don't punish them for that. That's
no,
their choice.
Don't,
I mean,
and send them on the streets. It's
no.
just going to make it worse.
Absolutely.
They're going to be out there committing heinous crimes and fucking whatever to survive.
And survival is a big part of it. When you're out there surviving, you don't look at them as, you know, crimes. You look at them as acts of survival. So, I mean, it's only...
That's totally true.
You know, right? So,
I mean, like, I mean, there's a fine line between what you're saying and what is...
You can't
is
cross the line. Personal injury and stuff like that is, you know, obviously, but, you know...
Like crack addiction is one of the worst things that the government ever implied into the public, right?
No.
Like, it was intentionally fucking dropped into the inner cities of America, and it was done to cause havoc and make money for the narcos.
You ever seen Flocka? Like Flocka, that introduction of that crazy
that
Flocka
new
drug?
Shit? Yeah, that's crazy.
And it was just popped up in like 5 different states. It was like an epidemic.
That's something different, though.
And then it just disappeared.
Yeah.
So this controls, if you don't believe that the CIA controls the drug supply in the United States,
it's actually declassified now that they use the cocaine. We're trying to talk here, boys. They use the money from bringing coke in through the U.S. government.
Right.
Like, this is during, when was it? Who is in power then?
Escobar.
Yeah, I know. Like, no, this is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
During this time, it was Reagan.
Yeah.
I think it was. Yep. And that's why he signed down.
War on drugs,
why he got out of office, I think, was one of the reasons.
No, Reagan was considered one of the, I think you look like you were doing that.
Or maybe it's the Bush. I think it might have been Bush that was in charge. It was around that time, anyways.
Right, right.
What I'm talking about was when, before, like we're talking about when cocaine went from the 80s, everybody was, it was like everybody, cocaine was so fucking casual and normal that to go to a party and not see it.
Yeah.
Would be like a fucking, like, what the fuck?
Lame ass party. It was like a popping chips party, yeah.
Everybody and their dog was doing it because it was just so, it was just whatever. And then
Purity was probably higher too, I think.
What's that?
I think Purity was higher back then too, you know? Like,
and there was, as soon as fentanyl came around, everything went to hell.
What do you, listen, Mike, what do you think about this whole fentanyl thing? I mean, 6 years.
I want to finish what I was talking about.
I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
Because this is important to me.
Right.
Like, this shit is fucking, it's actual fucking, these are facts that people may not know, that the fucking government did intentionally fucking sell coke to the fucking, all the, like, the Bloods and the Crips in the Chicago. It started in Chicago, okay?
Yeah.
They planted in Chicago and then it went out. Chicago's right in the middle of the U.S.
Right.
And they would fly it into the military base there, and then they would disperse it outwards, like, covertly, probably CIA
There's
something.
A movie about it now.
Yeah.
I think Johnny Depp. Is Johnny Depp? Or
no, yeah, you're talking about Blow.
But there's another one, too, where he... I, there's a he runs planes. He's a pilot.
Yeah, well, this was actually done. What I'm talking about was actually like on such a level.
For sure. Absolutely.
That the U.S. government or the U.S. president was the one fucking controlling this, and it was all in order to fucking raise money covertly without taxpayers' money like being funneled down. So
to fund the Contras.
The Contras against the fucking, that's right, because it was all about the fucking communists and the
Afghanistan going to war with Russia.
Yeah,
absolutely.
All commie shit from back then.
It's okay when they do it.
So yeah, and then they in one of their laboratories or whatever the fuck, they invented the drug crack cocaine. And when that hit,
yeah, man. It was an epidemic, right?
Not just an epidemic, it was a crisis on levels that people had no, they don't even really, unless you live that time were around for that shit, even on the news.
I had my rock problem at one
point. Yeah, well, everybody, you know, like, and you know the fucking struggle then, that how hard it'll take. It takes
addiction
normal
sucks.
People.
Addiction sucks.
It does suck. It's a nasty snake, and it gets into you. And you know the power of groups of these groups of people that get sober together. They're a great idea. I believe in them, but I really don't think they. I think they take each other out a lot of the time.
Yeah, there's a lot of the psychology that goes into that too. As recovering addicts are going to do addict things.
Yeah, total behaviors, right? Like, they all got those behaviors. That was, like, one of the hardest things for me to get rid of with my treatment was to get rid of the behaviors, right?
Absolutely. And those are hard things to let go because they're survival tactics.
But isn't that heinous how the fucking government is? And then people wonder why they don't trust the government and shit like that. You know, like, well, let's see. You guys created the fucking, the basic fucking inner city fucking destruction of every fucking major city in the U.S.
Yeah, and fuel poverty. People have articulated today. Sorry about the cutoff there. I guess the editing was somehow lost in that. Anyways, but thanks for Mike for that interview. And I just wanted to say people have articulated themselves very well, in the sense of I think of bringing you into the life of what it's like down here and what it's like. With the struggles that are put, the barriers that are put in front of you for you to survive every day. This is a homeless idea. Out. Oh.